views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm speaking to you today from Hubbard Radio here on 1150 AM KKNW. You may be listening on the East Coast of the United States on WBLQ, AM 1230, in Connecticut, Rhode Island, or New York. You might be listening somewhere across the United States on cable radio network, one of the zillions of stations in Australia, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're listening from today, you're going to be so glad you joined us, because we're going to be talking about something that affects everybody. But before I get into that, I have to say hello to my better half here in the studio, who allows you guys to hear the conversation, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
Wow, a zillion stations in Australia. Must be just a saturated market now. They're like, that's amazing.
I didn't remember the exact number. I think it's something like 35.
Give or take one or two zillion. That's amazing. I know they're a decent-sized country, but wow.
Well, it's kind of shocking how much I've changed from, the research statistician that where everything had to be really precise to, exaggerating by, a zillion.
And we all know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes.
It's good to be here.
It's nice to be here. And I missed you last week when I was on vacation.
Me too.
And it was nice to get to the
warmer here
in Arizona.
Warmer.
I did some fun things, including going horseback riding, which is something I haven't done in a long time.
Oh, see, I've never done that, and
I'm
a little intimidated by horses.
Yes, well, I'm still a little intimidated as well, because I rode some as a kid, but it's been many, many years, and I had gone on a trail ride a few years ago, mm-hmm. and my horse started to buck because another horse was biting his butt, and so. This time I had a little trepidation, and they mm-hmm. gave me this humongous horse named Garth, who they nicknamed Kitty because it was they loved him like Boo loves Sully in Monsters Incorporated.
Yes.
So they call him Kitty.
Aww.
And he was just a sweetheart, and it was a wonderful way to see the desert and to get the teenage boys out,
just
and doing
lumbering along, enjoying the ride. Yes. See, I need that. That's what I mean. I grew up in Alaska, so I think I might be intimidated by moose. I mean, I already am, but size of moose are like horses, but on a different, way different level.
And they can be aggressive, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And our dogs used to protect us all the time when we were out, in the snow and stuff like that. We're just playing in the woods. They'd just show up out of nowhere, and then the dogs would go crazy, and they'd protect us, and so we'd have to run back to the house. It wasn't like they'd charge us, but, they just alerted us.
Right.
I might be fooled, or I have a little fear around that, maybe. Mm-hmm. I need some coaching, so that's why I'm here. But I would like to have a Garth or Kitty in my life that I could ride around in the desert in. So
yes,
and it sounds peaceful.
It was wonderful.
Awesome.
It was absolutely wonderful. And I think the key is it was one of these places where they had a lot of rescue horses, and mm-hmm. they clearly loved their animals. They didn't want to tire them out. They were very conscientious
and
about
aware of,
about taking care of them mm-hmm. and. Anybody where you've got staff members kissing horses left
That's
and right,
great.
you know mm-hmm. that there's some love there.
Yeah, it's totally cool because we unfortunately know about some horses and their paths. It's not very long lived,
uh-huh.
and they continue to stretch it out as long as they can there. So that's a good thing that they do that.
Yeah, it mm-hmm. is, and I'm really excited about the conversation we're having today because I'm going to be talking to Kelly Sullivan Walden. And now this is a woman I met in LA, I think about 4 or 5 years ago, and. She has had a fascinating career. She talks about dreams, and she's, in fact, got 7 books. Get that. 7 best-selling books, including I Had the Strangest Dream, It's All in Your Dreams, Dreaming Heaven, Dream Oracle Cards, Discover Your Inner Goddess Queen, and Goddess Queen Pearls of Wisdom Journal. So she's, you know, she's produced a lot, and she has reached millions. I mean, she's been on Coast to Coast AM, Fox News, Dr. Oz Show, Ricky Lake, the Huffington Post Live, and she's got some interesting stories to tell. But she's got a different kind of bent towards our nighttime dreams. So you want to stay tuned. And I'm just so excited to have Kelly here today. Kelly Sullivan Walden, welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show.
Oh, what a pleasure to be with you, Christine and Benny. What a gift. What a dream.
You know, you talk about dreams and the nighttime dreams and how they connect to our daytime dreams. And so, first of all, what's your perspective on the nighttime dreams? Are they just like, you know, a little bit of processing, the firing of neurons sort of gone awry, or is there something really profoundly meaningful in them?
I think it's everything. It's all of it. It's everything that our brain does when we're awake. It's the same thing that we do at night when we're dreaming, except it's on steroids. Uh-huh. So at night, we process just like we process during the day, and sometimes we just have random jumbles of thoughts at night, just like we do in the day. And sometimes in the day, we have sights and brilliant thoughts that change our lives, and we have those at night. So it's just a different, it's the same function without any filters, without any editing mechanisms, without any attempt to be nice and civilized and to look good. So it's really, on some level, it's the raw us.
Yeah.
It's who we really are when we're stripped naked of our defenses and egos, and it's, you know, who we are under the X-ray machine.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's a fascinating way to be able to, if you're at all interested in getting to know who you are, this complex, multidimensional being that you are, then you'd be interested in dreams. And if you're also interested in knowing how you fit into the larger cosmos and how to thrive while you have this brief parenthesis of time here, then dreams help to shed very personalized information on how we can best do that.
So, Kelly, you talk about dream myths. What are some of the biggest dream myths?
Some of the biggest dream myths that I hear are people saying, I don't dream. And it's absolutely not true. Everybody dreams. There's some people that have psychological dysfunctions, or some people that are on heavy meds that suppress their dreams.
Right.
But we still dream every night. Everybody dreams. If you're not dreaming, then there's something really wrong. But the issue is, it's not about whether we dream or not. The issue is whether or not we remember our dreams, which is very common. Most people don't remember their dreams upon awakening because it requires a bit of effort, like fishing. The fish don't always just jump up into your boat, although that does sometimes happen. I'm not a fisher person at all.
Right.
I've done it once in my life a couple years ago, but I know it took effort to go digging in, and patience and time. And every once in a while, I know people have the rare occasion where the fish just jumps right up. So it takes effort. So most people don't know that there's value in the dreams, so they don't necessarily go after them. And some people have the freebies that just come after them,
right,
which is really lucky, and I get very jealous of those people that have those happen regularly. But so that's one of the myths, that we don't dream. We all dream. Another myth is that dreams don't matter.
Uh-huh.
And that's a huge myth, because if we really stop to think about it, we'd realize that so many of the greatest inventions that make our lives better, like electricity and clothes and the sewing needle, that came from dreams. Some of the best art.
Really?
Yes. I get the chills thinking about it. And even some of the best movies and books and stories that we love, like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, came from Mary Shelley's dream. Even more recently, the movie Avatar came from James Cameron's dream. And Shonda Rhimes, who is a hit TV creator of Grey's Anatomy and Scandal, she relies on her dreams for the plot lines and twists and turns. And so great contribution to medicine, to art, to science. It comes directly from dreams. And there's so many other stories about how dreams have saved people's lives. I know a handful of people that are alive today because of their dreams. So that debunks the myth that dreams don't matter.
Right. So, can you give us an example of somebody whose life was saved because of a dream?
Yes. There's a friend of mine named Kat Canavis, and she had a recurring series of dreams of a hooded monk, a Franciscan monk, that came to her dream and pointed at her breast, which monks don't normally do. So it struck her as strange.
Right.
And he said, you need to get your breast examined. And she put it off, and she thought, no, because she had had a mammogram recently enough that she thought, no, I got a clean bill of health.
Sure.
I'm fine. But the monk kept showing up in her dream and kept persisting. So she went in, had an MRI, had another scan, had an MRI, kept getting clear scans. But the monk kept showing up. So finally, after, and I'm cutting to the chase, it's a very long story, but it was becoming so persistent that it was driving her crazy. So she demanded exploratory surgery.
Wow. She was really trusting then,
Yes. I mean, to that, I mean, this is extreme. And the doctor at first was completely against it, but said, okay, fine. He was tired of dealing with her, so he took her in to find stage 4 cancer that all of the scans had missed. And it was going into her lymph nodes, so she got a double mastectomy immediately and is alive today because of that crazy persistent monk that showed up in her dream. And she's not Catholic. She was raised Christian, not Catholic. So it was odd and strange. But that's just one extraordinary example. Her website is survivingcancerland.com, and that's also her book. And she goes into great detail about these incredible dreams.
Right, right. Well, we're going to have to go to a quick break, but more on our dream life and its importance when we return with Kelly Sullivan Walden.
Late at night when all the world is sleeping, I stay up and think of you. And I wish on a star that somewhere you are thinking of me too. 'Cause I'm dreaming.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right. Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I wish we had the camera facing towards Benny because he was just really enjoying that music and feeling like he looked like he was so self-satisfied having chosen such perfect lyrics for coming back into a show about dreams.
I can lip sync like the best of them. That's basically what I want to go with that.
You're always so good at picking out the right music,
thank
Benny.
Thank you.
You know, Kelly Sullivan Walden is the author of numerous books on dreams, and we're talking about dreams, and I think eventually we are going to take some calls. So, Benny, can you share with our listeners which number they should call in if they're going to want some information about their own dreams?
Sure. Lines are open, 800-930-2819, 800-930-2819. We welcome you with open arms.
You know, it's funny, Kelly, because you were telling that story about that woman with a very advanced cancer. Well, you know, once upon a time, I had the early stages of a type of lymphoma. But, you know, it first appears on the skin. And I went in for a biopsy before I knew anything about this. And I knew it didn't look like melanoma. And so I wasn't particularly concerned about it because I thought, oh, the other types of skin cancer, you know, oh, they're not dangerous. And I had some strange things happen, including a lesion sort of turning into a C. And then it was like, I said, is it going to spell out Chris or is it going to be the big C? Well, there, by the time I came back, there was a C and then a period next to it, you know. But during the time, between the time I had the biopsy and the time I got the results and found out it was something different from skin cancer, I had this dream that there was somebody who was taking a needle and putting it right in the middle of my lesion. And in my dream, I was just totally disturbed by it. And
They
put a needle inside the middle of the lesion, the skin lesion, and they were like withdrawing like blood or something. And I was very bothered by it. And I woke up and I'm thinking, this is really strange. You know, how on earth would, you know, something like a needle in me like disturb me so much? And then when I found out that they thought I had the early stages of this cancer, I started, doing some research. I went to the medical library. This is back before Google. I went to the medical library, and I found out the way they stage this cancer is they take what they call peripheral blood. They take a needle and put it in the middle, and I had this big aha. So it was like, you know, the information from whatever realm had come through to me to a dream and say, yes, indeed, you have this, and it's serious.
Oh, my God. And you were able to heal this on your own without anything.
Right. Well, it was funny because what they did is they did chemotherapy for this type of cancer, but it was called palliative chemo, which they put you on the rest of your life. So, you know, they wait until it gets to be bad enough. And apparently if you start it too early, it actually shortens a person's lifespan, which is no surprise because, you know, it's very toxic.
Right.
And there I was, you know, in my upper 20s and you know, I hadn't had children yet. I knew if I would start the chemo, I, you know, wouldn't be able to have kids. And, you know, I was thrown into this abyss. They had nothing to offer me. So I started exploring all sorts of things, including visualization, you know, sort of the dealing with my emotional issues and visualizing sort of like the love and the light moving through me. And yeah, eventually it went away on its own.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, I think everybody's got a unique path. Most of the time when people know I do dream work, they tell me about dreams that they had that healed them. There's a woman whose book is called She Who Dreams, Rhonda, and I don't have her last name at the tip of my tongue, but in her dream, she had her father, who was on the other side, come to her and basically let her know that she had cancer, and then she was given like a cup of, I can't remember exactly, but it was like a cup that had all the cancer in it, and she kept in her dream rinsing it out, and it would keep filling up, and she would keep rinsing it out until it stopped filling up with anything funky, and the next time she went to the doctor, it was cleared.
Wow.
And she was convinced that dream helped her heal. So there's so many things we can do, from meditation to changing our diet to paying attention to our dreams to God knows. I mean, I think we have to all find our own way. And then there's Anita Marjani, who went ahead and died and had her healing on the other side and came back and is cancer-free from having healed and forgiven her father. And so I think all roads lead to forgiveness and live as clean and as healthy and happy and full of vitality as possible, and then let the chips fall where they may.
Right. And so it sounds like our dreams are such an important part of navigating this life.
I feel like they are. I notice, you know, it's, I always joke and say, I wish I had this parallel life that I could see happening, like if I, whether I did or didn't pay attention to my dreams,
sure,
so I could,
yeah.
Scientific, what's that?
Sure, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
Our control, our, yeah.
Exactly, like yes. Those books where you could pick your own ending and
right.
See what happens, and
uh-huh.
Of course, they all end up in the same place. All roads lead to the mountaintop, so
uh-huh.
You can't
right.
Really make a mistake. But I know for myself, if I was going to use my feeling as a guide and knowing what it feels like to be in the zone and knowing clearly what it feels like to be out of the zone, feeling like I'm, you know, paddling upstream without an oar,
mm-hmm.
and so I know that for myself, paying attention to dreams, I feel like I'm more consistently daily find myself in moments of pure magic. The right people at the right time show up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of someone that I haven't talked to forever and they call, or there's some song on the radio, like the song that Benny was just playing, that's
right.
Just like, wow, how did you know? And then you talked about Boo from Monsters, Inc.,
right.
Which is my metaphor for how to deal with nightmares. So I thought, hello.
Oh.
So magic and synchronicities happen when we pay attention to.
All because I went horseback riding in Arizona, yes.
Yes, I love that metaphor. So do you mind if I drop into that for 1 second?
No, please do, please do.
Well, my perspective is, and I actually borrow this from the Sonoy, which is a Aboriginal group that lives in, they are from the highlands of Malaysia,
uh-huh.
Known from many anthropologists to be the most enlightened group of people maybe ever to walk the planet. In fact, there's a lot of skepticism online about whether or not they actually existed, but there's people I know that knew them, and there's
uh-huh.
Proof.
Right.
But they attribute, the anthropologists attribute their enlightenment to their dream practices, and one of their dream practices is that they treat any adversarial character as if it was Santa Claus. They wouldn't call it Santa Claus, but
uh-huh.
It's like someone, something that has a gift in disguise,
right.
And you're not going to wake up until you've received that gift, because the gift isn't just for you, it's for the whole tribe. So the children are taught at an early age to walk toward the scary creature with hands open, like Boo
uh-huh.
does to Sully,
right.
And like, oh, hi, you must be here for a reason. What are you trying to teach me about mm. myself, about life? Please teach me, give
uh-huh.
me the gift. And as you do that, the enemy or the crazy character or the monster melts and becomes a puddle and
mm-hmm.
does reveal some form of wisdom. And so to me, I invite people to see nightmares as an opportunity, a phenomenal opportunity at change, transformation, and to treat these scary creatures that show up in our dreams as if they did have a blessing in disguise for us, and to watch the movies Monsters, Inc. and adopt a very Boo-like way of approaching the monster.
Right, right. Of course, in Monsters, Inc., there was one monster that was truly evil, but the rest of them were just doing their job.
True, but I think from Boo's perspective, Boo is just like, yo, what's up?
Uh-huh.
Like, they're more scared of her, the little girl with pigtails. And I think that is the deal. We have no idea how big and powerful we are.
Uh-huh.
We think that we're the little victims that are just hanging by a thread, scared of our own shadow, when the rest of the universe is like, oh, my God, watch out for Christine.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God, Benny. Oh. And so most of us, I mean, this is the backstory of why dreams are important, is to help us discover our disowned power and power.
Oh,
that
I like that.
Used.
I like that, Kelly.
Discover
yes. our disowned power.
Yes, and that's why nightmares are the most remembered form of dreams. It's because they usually come looking pretty scary, because anything that you've shoved in the closet for
uh-huh.
years and years will not come out looking very pretty.
Right.
Usually comes out with a vengeance. But if we approach it from the perspective of, wow, this is my inheritance, it's my legacy, it's my power, I might as well benefit from a little bit of that. I could probably use that in my life.
Uh-huh.
So come to mama. Bring it.
Right. So why is it that some people will have the same dream repeatedly?
I love that question, because we haven't gotten the message yet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's actually two philosophies about that. One is that human beings are creatures of habit, and anything we do recurringly, repeatedly, will continue, and it kind of creates evolution.
Sure.
So we all tend to have a very small cast of characters that recur in our dreams, and recurring locations and recurring dream themes. And part of that is because that's what we're geared to learn. It's how we process. So we might have one character that shows up and plays different roles for us. So part of it is just the habitual nature of what it means to be human.
Mm-hmm.
But the more important aspect of it is, I believe that we'll have dreams that recur until we get the message. For example, Kathleen O'Keefe Canavis, sure, the one whose dream I shared with you, the monk went away after she had her exploratory surgery.
Mm-hmm.
The monk hasn't been back. He didn't need to keep coming back because she received the message. Message gotten, received, okay, you're complete. You can move on and help somebody else in their dream. So
right.
I like to think of it as the FedEx guy coming, or the FedEx gal coming to the door, leaving a message, and we don't get the message, so we keep getting these little notes on our door.
Sure.
Until we get the message, and then they stop and leave us alone.
Right, right. Then we get the package of our gift of what we learned. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's not, I used to be embarrassed about some of my recurring dreams because I'd think, oh my God, I'm quote unquote Dr. Dream, and mm-hmm. I'm like, I would receive a recurring dream as if I hadn't passed the test yet. Like I was having to
right.
take my driver's test over and over because I kept failing. But I've decided to reframe it as there's deeper gifts in store.
Uh-huh.
There's deeper learning from this particular scenario that keeps recurring, and maybe it'll never be done.
Right.
And maybe I'll just keep dropping deeper and deeper, and maybe that's just my path to learning. So
mm-hmm.
we don't have to feel bad about our recurring dreams as I say that out loud to myself.
Yeah, and also, you know, I mean, one of the things I've discovered as somebody who facilitates healing, I have health issues sometimes myself. And if I didn't, then I wouldn't really understand on a deep level what some of my clients and students experience.
Absolutely. Our dreams sometimes our dreams can help us to do the healing. I know that some people receive the healing in their dreams. Like, I don't know if you've experienced this or paid attention, or maybe you will. Before you see a client, you'll have a dream about them and get information from them
uh-huh.
that maybe they weren't sharing or you didn't know before cognitively, and healing can happen before the session or after the session.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes they'll get the dream and
uh-huh.
they'll get the message
uh-huh.
one way or another before they ever show up. And, you know, yeah.
A friend of mine who is a therapist was seeing a client for the longest time and was frustrated because there wasn't much growth. And she had a dream about the client, and the client was pigging out and then purging.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked her the next day, she said, do you have an eating disorder? And the woman just went, like full of so much shame. And then she burst into tears and admitted that she, in fact, had an eating disorder that hadn't copped to it, couldn't
right.
come to terms with it. And that dream that the therapist had gave her this insight, and it helped to create this amazing change and transformation in her healing process.
That's cool. That's so wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, we have to go to another quick break, but when we return, Kelly will be taking calls. So if you have any dreams you'd like help analyzing and finding the kernel of truth within, please call us.
800-930-2819, 800-930-2819. Lines are open. We want to hear from you.
More with Kelly Walden when we return.
Looks in the mirror and stares at the wrinkles that weren't there yesterday. Thinks of the young man that she almost married. What would he think?
We all seem to have something in our lives that we would like to shift, and there are a variety of ways to implement change. But many times we try several approaches but still don't get what we want. Why is that? Well, it turns out that there are universal principles governing change that you probably haven't heard about before, which determine whether or not we are successful in getting what we want. Following these principles leads to positive, lasting change, but ignoring them keeps us stuck. So if you are struggling in at least one area of your life, then you are missing an essential ingredient in your recipe of change. Want to learn the keys to success? Join me, Christine Upchurch, on Saturday, April 25th in Seattle for a day-long experiential workshop.
helping you create your personalized roadmap for change. Empower yourself to transform your life so you can live more vibrantly. For more information, please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Such are the dreams of the everyday housewife you see everywhere, any time of the day.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today with Kelly Sullivan Walden, and she's the author of numerous books, and she is a dream expert, and she's helping us to sort of reframe what the potential is from our dreams. And before we get more into that conversation, Kelly, you mentioned you've got some things coming up. Let's hear about what's going on in your world and how people can connect with you.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be co-authoring the next Chicken Soup for the Soul book that's going to be on dreams and premonitions. That'll be coming out this September. You can pre-order that on Amazon. So it's Chicken Soup for the Soul, Dreams and Premonitions. Very excited about that. And I've recently launched my coaching program, which is called Dream Life Coach Training. And if you go to that website, dreamlifecoachtraining.com, there you get a free 15-minute inquiry session, including if you have a dream that you want interpreted and you want to keep it private and you're too shy to share it on air, You can go there and schedule a free 15-minute session. And then you can also find out about how to become more masterful at paying attention to dreams and how to know what to do with them once you do remember the dreams and how to incorporate that in your life. That's what you get out of Dream Life Coach Training. And I offer some free dream meditations to help you incubate your dreams, meaning how to set yourself up for success before you go to sleep so you can kind of tell your dreams, look, I need help with my relationship, or I need help with my body. I want to lose 10 pounds. Please let my dreams help me, show me how to heal.
Put in an order before you go to sleep.
Exactly. Like, excuse me, dream maker, this is what I'd like you to help me with, and good night. So you can, there's a way to be able to, we call it dream incubation. It's a fancy term for telling the dreams to help you with something that you want, so that when you wake up in the morning and focus on a dream that you've remembered, you can see how the dream is an answer to that question.
Right.
And so there's a whole meditation to help you with that. It's called the Dream Declaration Meditation that you get for free when you go to ihadthestrangestdream.com.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of strange dreams, I mean, first of all, we have good dreams, bad dreams, weird dreams, sometimes a combination thereof.
Yes.
How do we manage to remember our dreams? Because you say everybody dreams unless there's some, you know, real problem.
Right.
But we dream, but most of us don't remember. How do we remember them?
There's a couple simple things you can do. It starts with getting the idea that it's important. If something's not important to you, you're not. If you don't think fishing is important, then you're not going to go out and fish.
Sure.
If you don't think dreams are important, you're not going to go out of your way and interrupt those precious groggy moments in the morning, unless you really receive the idea right now. And I hope everyone listening right now gets this, that your dreams could change your life. They can make your life so much better and help to avoid so many falling into the potholes of life. It's just, and help you to just move with grace and ease. So if you get that, That's a first step. And then the next step is to back that up with some action by putting something on your nightstand to help you record your dream, because you only have a couple minutes of a window from the moment you wake up in the morning to be able to record the dreams before they're just poof, gone, done.
Really, just a couple of minutes?
Just a couple of minutes. Some say 5 minutes, but in my experience, it's more like 2 minutes. If you don't record them immediately, they're gone. Even if you think, oh, of course I'm going to remember this. Oh, my God, this is so intense. Most people, 99% of the time, will forget their dream unless it's recorded in something concrete, whether a journal or you can record it on a dream app. I use the app. It's a free app that you can get on iTunes or Android or however you want to get it. It's called Dreams Cloud. You can just record your voice talking it, which I find to be an easier solution than writing in the early morning, which becomes illegible.
Yes. Or in the middle of the night when there's no light.
Exactly. You're like, what is this scrawl? Oh, my God, I'll never make sense out of this. So that's what you do to start it. And then the crucial part is when you wake up in the morning, to make sure that you wake up slowly, that you do your best not to move a muscle until you've replayed the dream that you were just having at least 2 or 3 times. And then gently, gradually roll over and move so slow. If you jar yourself awake, if you burst out of bed, then poof, gone, done. You've changed the waves, the brain waves in your mind, and it's too quickly that you won't be able to recapture the dream. So that's how you can remember dreams. There's a thousand other things I write about in my book, It's All in Your Dreams. A list about 50 items deep about all the different things you can do to remember dreams.
And, you know, we do have a myriad of types of dreams. When we remember our dreams, you know, they can be, you know, really wonderful and really horrible. What is it about the worst dreams that we have?
So my interpretation of a nightmare, I always say that a nightmare is an unfinished dream. And a nightmare can be a great ally because it can show you where you're out of balance in your life or where you have suppressed energy. You know that saying, what is suppressed must express.
Right.
So if you think about it, your dreams are doing you a great service by giving you an opportunity to vent, to rage, to even kill, and so that when you wake up in the morning, you don't go to jail. You know, you don't lose all your friends and family members and end up isolated on an island all by yourself.
Right.
So your dreams help you to get out of your system energy that you really don't know how to express in your waking reality.
Right.
Or if you're, you know, so no matter what, look at nightmares from the perspective that they are helping you to reach the mountaintop of who you are. All roads lead to the mountaintop, whether it be a great, fabulous, flying, winning the lottery, having sex with the most wonderful person dream that brings you to the mountaintop, or a nightmare. They're meant to help you get to a place of freedom and peace within yourself. So if you have that frame that you look at your dreams from, that you look at your nightmares from, then you can start to see, well, what is this dream helping me to release, helping me to let go of, or helping me to embrace? Here's a phenomenon among people that are very much, I'm sure, your listeners, everybody that I know that's in the mind-body-spirit movement in some way, shape, or form, whether as a healer, whether as an angel person, they all whisper to me and tell me that they have these really scary dreams about some negative, dark energy that chases them. And I, just like Debbie Ford's great book, The Dark Side of Light Chasers.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful, wonderful book. She was great.
Yes, and God rest her soul.
Yes.
So we, many of us who have chosen, quote unquote, to embrace the light, have completely looked at our shadow and said, "Get thee behind me!
Yes.
I'm not you. You don't. You're not a part of
right.
me." But let's
transcend this. Let's avoid it. Yes,
exactly. Let's pretend that's not there. But the truth is that it is there, and it's a part of us. And it. And my philosophy is that it belongs embraced by us: the dark, the light, all of it. And then once it's embraced, it doesn't be. It's no longer our enemy. It can help us to actually fuel us and give us, just like the dirt. We wouldn't look at a flower and say, well, the flower is beautiful, but let's get rid of the manure. We need the manure for the flower to grow.
Right.
It's all part of it. If we got rid of all the manure on the planet, there would be no flowers.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's looked at holistically, then we can grow more effortlessly and graceful. So our nightmares are helping us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my approach for how to work with nightmares. And I could give some examples if you'd like, but I know that we've got time of the essence here.
Yeah, so. And I also want to ask the question. I think that sometimes with some of the shadow stuff that comes up, and in particular within dreams when it can be kind of wild and out there, I think sometimes it triggers people's fear of negative entities. You mentioned that a minute ago.
Yeah.
I think that there's a lot of belief in this culture and certainly in other cultures as well that there are negative entities outside of us that are trying to get us. How do we sort of balance the fear of that or walk through the fear of that in order to, you know, approach the dream as though it is something beneficial?
Right. I think that is an excellent question. It's definitely a more advanced question. But my philosophy on that, and this is my personal belief system, I know that, and Einstein, I think, would concur, if I do pat myself on the back here, that this universe is either friendly or it's not. The universe is either on our side or it's not. And his belief is that the universe is indeed friendly. So if we, and he says that you can't solve a problem with the same mind that created it.
Mm-hmm.
So if I spent all day long trying to avoid the icky things that might try to latch on, I would literally go insane, because once you start looking at the problem from that perspective, there's a great movie that's out right now on Scientology called Getting Clear, and it makes the case so beautifully for what happens when you keep looking for the entities, how many more show up. And that is the very frequency that attracts quote-unquote entities or attracts that energy. So from my perspective, my point of view is, let's just raise the light. Let's just get the frequency of light to be as bright in the body and as grounded as possible. Then that solves both problems. It not only gives me a more joyous experience of life, and it also at the same time kind of blows out whatever funky energies might show up that aren't positive. So my perspective is, let me just be like, you know, think of Mother Teresa embracing everything and saying, what is it that you need? What's going on here? Let me love you. I've had some funky characters come to me in my dream. And from the perspective of, I live in a holographic universe, I am at one with all of life. I believe that God, and this is my philosophy, embraces all things, and if I'm part of that, then as a miniature version of that, a microcosm of that, then I'm going to embrace everything as if it's a part of God.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this scary dog, for example, that was rabid like a Cujo coming after me in a dream. And I was able to get behind a door, a plate glass door, and shut the door in time so it didn't come after me. So that in some way could be like, okay, cool, I avoided that funky energy, but there was some part of me that knew it's still out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not gone, and it's certainly not transformed.
Right.
So I thought, this isn't done. Do we have one more second?
Oh. Yeah, go ahead.
So in my dream, so I woke up, and this is how you can finish a dream, because a nightmare is an unfinished dream.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, if this dream is, in fact, this dog is a part of me, then I'm going to ask it to go into the backyard where there's a fence. It's not going to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked it, what is it that you need? What is it that you need? And it was starving. And I know there's another philosophy that would say, don't feed the funky. But I felt it was starving, and it was trying to get fed. So I thought, okay, I'm going to throw some steaks over the fence to make sure that it got food. So it calmed down. It ate something, and it calmed down, rolled up into a little ball, and was like, okay. So I am a part of you. I deserve a place to be. Maybe it's not inside the living room of the house, but I deserve a place to be so that I can at least exist and be taken care of, and then maybe move on to wherever's next.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe in treating anything and everything with compassion and then setting boundaries.
Sure, sure. Well, we have to go to another quick break, but when we return, we're going to be having Kelly do some dream analysis. More with Kelly Sullivan Walden when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show. We all seem to have something in our lives that we would like to shift, and there are a variety of ways to implement change. But many times we try several approaches but still don't get what we want. Why is that? Well, it turns out that there are universal principles governing change that you probably haven't heard about before, which determine whether or not we are successful in getting what we want. Following these principles leads to positive, lasting change, but ignoring them keeps us stuck. So if you are struggling in at least one area of your life, then you are missing an essential ingredient in your recipe of change. Want to learn the keys to success? Join me, Christine Upchurch, on Saturday, April 25th in Seattle for a day-long experiential workshop, helping you create your personalized roadmap for change. Empower yourself to transform your life so you can live more vibrantly. For more information, please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Mia Simone is an avant-garde intuitive consultant, visionary, coach, and entrepreneur who guides her daily life using the gifts of her inner being. She is devoted to sharing her extensive knowledge on the invisible worlds of energy. Discover the science of intuition and connect with your greatest gift. Start living in your potential today and every day by opening up to the power of inner knowledge. Learn about the science of energy, quantum physics, and the ancient knowledge of understanding how to predict and change your future. Establish focus and expand your self-confidence, personal power, and create direction. For intuitive readings and coaching, contact Mia at 310-409-0333. Or visit her website at www.psychicmiasimone.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear. Fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking to Kelly Sullivan Walden, and she is the dream expert, and we have people waiting in queue. First, we have Lily from
yes.
Maple Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, Lily.
Thank you very much. Okay, do I go ahead and share my dream
yep,
real quick?
Please do.
No time. Okay, all right, I wrote this down. This happened on February 7th, and I was on the bus, and I was on a street headed down the street, and somehow or another, I got on the wrong bus, actually, and the bus driver was talking about parents, and I was talking about my parents, and he said to me, well, if you have a problem with your parents, why don't you dismiss them? And I said, how do you dismiss your parents? And then they changed again, and then there was another bus, and it was a woman who says, I have no understanding of marriage whatsoever. And then I had to get off that bus, yes, and climb a hill. Now, two things happened. One, my mother passed away seven days after that.
Oh,
and
wow.
The other thing, yeah. The other thing is, in my dreams, I'm going to share this, in my dreams, I never, it's always man, woman, or child. It's never any ethnic person, like any color. If I describe to you something about a person, it could be an Asian, it could be black, Mexican, anybody coming to me, but it's never written down as that. I don't see it. It's like just people.
Mm-hmm.
There are people coming to me sharing information. That's all I see in my dreams.
Mm. Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh, cool. All right. So the first thing is I want to applaud you for being colorblind in your dreams and probably in your waking reality to some degree, too. So I think that's beautiful. There's so many things I want to ask you about, but I think it's beautiful that you paid attention to this. To me, a bus is about somebody else taking you somewhere. When we're driving in a dream, if we're in the driver's seat, then we know where we're going. If we're a passenger in a car, a passenger in a bus, it means that we're kind of following somebody else's belief system or guidance. And in this, you were on the wrong bus, so it would feel like, well, where I would ask, where am I getting guidance that's not quite mine? And then you talk about parents and dismissing them. So to me, this goes back to, well, what about life or love or relationship or spirituality did you get from your parents that you want to let go of? I think it's a brilliant, the bus driver, which, and everybody in the dream, by the way, is an aspect of the dreamer, I believe. So it would be the driver aspect of you tells you very directly, dismiss what isn't yours, what you don't want to keep. Like, keep what you want, leave the rest behind, even if it's from your mother and father. So I think it's the ultimate way to honor a parent by saying, I'm going to take what you taught me, and I'm going to keep that, and I'm not going to take the stuff that doesn't serve me, and I think your higher self would love that. So to me, I feel like that's transformational. And then it seems to have to do with marriage in the next one. I would say there's a theme in really looking at what's driving you regarding parental conditioning and even conditioning regarding marriage in order to transform it so that you can eventually end up in the driver's seat and get to choose your route, your direction, where you want to go and how you want it to unfold so that you can be empowered. And I think there's just something poetic about 7 days afterwards your mother made her transition. And I'm wondering for you, Lily of the Valley, if this helped you to process her passing and your grief around that, having had that dream 7 days before she passed.
Well, I just happened to open up this book about probably a week ago and read this. I forgot all about it. I wrote it down after the dream that day, or that next morning. I wrote this dream down. So I forgot about it until just recently. I just happened to be flipping through this book, I found this page.
So I would just ask you, and I know this is probably a longer question to contemplate than we have time for, but maybe you can do the homework and get back to me, but to see if you could really take this dream on as if it was the divine giving you an order, giving you a powerful message for how to, like, what belief systems do you want to drop along the side of the way? Which do you want to keep? And if you were going to drive the bus, what beliefs about parenthood and what beliefs about marriage would you keep, and which would you drop away, and how might that change things for you? And you can send me an email later if you'd like to kelly@ihadthestrangestdream.com. And if anybody misses, doesn't get a chance to share a dream with me that would like to, you can put it on my website on the online form at ihadthestrangestdream.com, and I will get back to you. It might not be right away, but I will promise to get back to you.
Yeah. Kelly, is it with a Y or an E-Y?
It's with a Y, K-E-L-L-Y. KellySullivanWalden.com is the same. Be easier to remember. IHadTheStrangestDream.com. All roads will lead you to the same website.
Thank you so much for joining us, Lily. And
real fast with Renee, is that okay?
No, I don't think we've got the time.
Oh, okay. Renee.
Yeah. Renee, you can send it to me via the online form on my website, and I promise I will get back to you.
Yeah,
perfect.
That's great. Sorry, Renee.
Thanks, Kelly.
You know, this hour has just flown by. Again, can you share with our listeners your website?
Sure. It's IHadTheStrangestDream.com. And then you can also get a free 15-minute consultation if you go to DreamLifeCoachTraining.com. And you can also find me on Facebook, Kelly Sullivan Walden, Dr. Dream, or on Twitter at Kelly S. Walden.
Wonderful. Thank you, Kelly. This hour's flown by. I'd love to have you back again sometime.
It's been so dreamy, and I so love that we had the boo to start the show off with. I love that. So great to connect with both of you. Thank you, Christine.
Thank
up
you.
Church. Keep up the good church.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you all for joining us here today. I want a quick announcement for those of you in the Seattle area. There are a few spots still available in the workshop tomorrow, The Vibration of Change. It's new material. It's based on the book that I'm writing. You don't want to miss it. Please join us. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.